Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study of the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read verse 4 again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, we're continuing to study about who these certain persons that Jude talks about here in verse 4 really were by studying the seven major groups of heresy. And we have already covered the Antinomians, the Judaizers, the Gnostics, and the modalists. Now we're continuing in our study of one of the most important times of the Christian church. A group rose up in the 4th century who attacked the deity of Christ head on. This was the most serious attack against the person of Christ that the church had seen, and it nearly overwhelmed the church, due in part to the church's unwillingness to fight against it. The Arians taught that Jesus was more than a man, but was less than God, which in effect made Jesus to be a created being. And as you follow the teachings of Arianism out to its inevitable conclusion, you will see why they teach that Jesus was not deity, but that he was an angelic being, and was in fact Michael the archangel in the Old Testament. It is shocking to know that all of the ancient heresies we have seen so far, this was the worst, and this is the one that nearly overtook the church. Yet this is the heresy that the church did not resist until it was almost too late. The heresy of Arianism was bold and blatant and was not hidden at all once it was allowed to enter into the church. The deity of Christ was attacked with a ferocity like no other Christian doctrine had ever been fought. When presented with clear scriptural proof of Christ's divinity, the Arians were unashamed with their answer. They said, quote, "If the Bible teaches that Christ was divine, then by all means let us change the Bible," unquote. It was in large part the boldness of the Arians that won over most of the church leaders. These people had no shame, no fear, and no remorse. They were willing to rewrite the entire Bible if necessary to fit in with their doctrine, and they made no bones about it. Their stated goal was to cause the church to place the stamp of orthodoxy on their heresy that Christ was fully human but was not deity. This boldness in and of itself was the reason that many fell into this heresy. They reasoned that if these people were wrong, then God would have either convicted them or judged them. The church leaders had forgotten that the Bible clearly teaches that some people can go too far with God. Some people can presume upon the grace of God until God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Paul wrote about these kind of people in Romans 1:20-32 that says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of evil, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and even though they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So we must not be taken back by the boldness of the heretics and atheists today. These people are able to get to the place where God no longer deals with them, and their mission in life is not to seek after or understand truth, it is simply to tear up the Church of Jesus. Part of the problem early in the 4th century was the fact that the persecution of the church that had begun on day one was now letting up. For the first 3 centuries, after the first prayer meeting in the upper room when the church was born, Christianity was a minority religion. The Christian church had endured 300 years of living under the constant threat of total annihilation. If you remember from your high school history that in the year AD 312, the Emperor of Rome, Constantine, suddenly made a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I have no idea whether Constantine actually got saved or not, but history shows that he did make a public profession and that his sudden conversion was real big news. In the following year, AD 313, Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which for the first time ever granted toleration for Christianity within the Roman Empire. This edict even gave the Christian church some special tax breaks. The effect was that the people of the Roman Empire now had a financial incentive to follow their emperor and convert to Christianity. This is how Christianity became almost overnight the de facto religion of Rome. Constantine was supposedly converted because of a vision that he had supposedly seen. During the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, Constantine said that he looked up in the sky and saw the Christian monogram. The Christian monogram is used in many Eastern churches today. You may have seen it. It is a cross that looks like an X superimposed on a P. Constantine said that he saw this symbol in the sky, and under the symbol was the words, "By this sign, conquer." So he converted to Christianity, and from that time on, the church was no longer persecuted like it had been. Now, it's good when people are not persecuted. I'm certainly not in favor of persecution against the church, but because I do know that we are carnal creatures, and that if given an abundance of peace, safety, and prosperity, most people, most Christians, most good Christians will over time get fat, dumb, and happy. It is simply human nature to get relaxed when everything is okay. This is the biggest problem with the American church today. We have far too much money, far too much spare time, and we feel far too safe and far too peaceful, and we have a sense of security and warmth that tends to make us apathetic, relaxed, and more in tune with keeping our prosperity, keeping our materialism intact, than we are to earnestly seek after the things of God. Now, I know that I'm not going to get on a lot of people's Christmas party lists for saying this, but it is the truth, so I am bound to say it. Here we go. The unprecedented peace and prosperity that we have enjoyed in this country over the last 60 years or so is not of God. It is a trap of the devil to divert our minds and hearts away from the things that matter most to the things that moth will corrupt and that rust will take away. The overwhelming majority of all the teachings that I have personally heard from the modern snake oil salesman on the Haywood and Stubble television network about prosperity are not biblical. They are not true. They are false teachings that promote greed, idolatry, covetousness, and discontent in the hearts and minds of God's people. And this from biblical Christianity, and this turn from biblical Christianity to materialistic idolatry is destroying the church and the people of the church. At the very same time that we have enjoyed this unprecedented peace and prosperity, we have also seen a total and complete collapse of biblical morality. And the two things are connected. The same thing that is happening to us today happened to the church in the 4th century. The great persecution of the church had stopped. Women were no longer being made widows because of the gospel. Little children had their fathers at home every night because their fathers were no longer being thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. And at first, the church rejoiced over this newfound peace. But soon, human nature took over. Soon, prayer meetings went unattended because the people no longer saw the need to pray. Before they were earnestly praying that they could live long enough to declare the gospel to just one more soul. But now, because they were living in peace, they saw no need to pray at all. And because of the tax breaks, Christians began to actually prosper more than non-Christians. So with this prosperity came more stuff, and with more stuff came the need to take care of more stuff, and less time to study the Bible, less time to pray, less time to witness, less time to serve God. In the 4th century church, some even preached that fasting had been completely done away with because the need to draw close to God had surely passed. Some even went so far as to declare that since Constantine was so good to the church, that his reign must be the second coming of Jesus Christ. The result of all this was you couldn't pay people to do what they had done before the peace and prosperity come. They simply were too busy, too occupied, too involved in making this world their home and these things their heavenly rewards. The heretics took this opportunity to rush into the church to destroy it, and they nearly succeeded. The people of God were so busy becoming important that they forgot about defending the faith. But please don't look down on them. Who among us today would trade a week-long cruise to a resort location with a week of fasting on water and weeping between the porch and the altar? Very few today, very few then. Which churches today have seen a growth in attendance to prayer meetings and Bible studies? We simply don't see the need, and we simply do not have the time. So the entire mood of the 4th century church, as a result of their newfound liberty and prosperity, was, let's just go along to get along. Let's just love everyone, and God will sort it all out. It's not my job to defend the faith. Let the pastor do that. It's not my responsibility to preserve the church. Let the elder board do that. I've got places to go, things to do, people to see. Well, Brother Blair, are you saying that it's better to be poor than to be rich? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, and I am saying it very clearly, that it is better to be poor and to be saved and to be on fire for God and to be faithful to Christ and to go to heaven than it is to be rich and lose your convictions, lose your fire, lose your desire to serve God and go to hell. Well, can't we just do both? Can't we be blessed and still be on fire for God? Maybe, but very few actually do that. All throughout the Bible, there were no more than a handful of souls that did not allow their prosperity to destroy their faith. Very, very few. If you can do that, knock yourself out. But if you have to lose your faith in order to be blessed, better to be poor. The church in the 4th century went through this dilemma, and for the most part, they failed the test. Heresy rushed into the church, and the people were too blessed to even be concerned. They were too busy taking care of all their blessings to be sure that they were taking care of their relationship with God. Beloved, I pray that we don't fall into that trap. Let us remain faithful. Let us remain true to God. And let us earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.